This morning, for a little while, the question that we want to ask ourselves, and also the title of my lesson, is, were you there when they crucified my Lord? You know, as we examine ourselves, as we examine the scenes of the Bible and the characters of the Bible, we find that the cross of Christ has a special way of exposing men's true nature. I believe when we read the writings of the Apostle Paul, he speaks often about the difference between those that are committed to the cross of Christ and those who are simply occasionally contributors. And, you know, it reminds me of the old parable about the ham and the eggs. You see, with ham and eggs, the hen, she's a contributor. But the hog, he's fully committed to that meal. So that's a silly story, I know, but it shows that we can be fully committed to something, or we can simply be a contributor. And Paul, I believe, was fully committed to the cross of Christ. In Galatians, the 5th chapter and verse 11, the Bible says, "And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased." And in the 6th chapter of Galatians, in verse 12, he writes, "As many as desire to make a fair shew in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ." And in the 14th verse of the same chapter, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." The cross of Christ, by its very nature, demands a complete change in men. In the Gospel of Luke, the 9th chapter, in verse 23 and 24, the writer says, "And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." You know, you read that passage, it tells us that the cross of Christ, by its very nature, is radical. It's an extreme calling. It's one that we must be completely and totally given to. And anything less of that, the Bible tells us, will fall short of God's expectation and His commandments. Those who side with the Lord only when they agree with things are not true followers, but they're simply occasional contributors. And they are, at the very least, oftentimes ashamed of the cross of Christ. But as we look at the events that surround the Word of God, the events that surround the crucifixion, we can find that there were certain men and women who learned the difference between what they thought they were, or who they thought they were, and who they really were there at the cross. We find the same way today. Those that are exposed to the Word of God, the true Word of God, that have a tender heart, will come to know themselves. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." When we clearly and honestly examine ourselves against God's Word and in view of the cross of Christ, we know whether we are in good standing or where we are left wanting. And sadly, it seems common for men to think that they have the appropriate service to God, But inwardly, they have disconnected themselves from being able to take an honest look at themselves and their lives. We read in the first chapter of James, verses 22 through 25, where here the Bible says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You know, we find so many around us today that claim to be Bible readers, claim to be followers of God, and may indeed spend time reading the Word. But they go away from that, completely misunderstanding or understanding what their reflection is into that Word. It's like a man who views himself in the mirror, the Bible says, and sees how he truly looks, but then walks away from that mirror, forgetting or not understanding how he is and what ought to change. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, the Bible simply says, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Well, this morning for a little while, we want to look at how the events of the cross brought several individuals face to face with their true selves. We want to look at these individuals this morning, and more importantly, look honestly and deeply at ourselves to see if maybe we were one of those who were there when they crucified our Lord. Well, first this morning, we'll look at the most obvious case, that being Judas Iscariot. You know, I doubt that Judas ever truly saw himself the way that he was. He may have thought, like so many today, I'm a follower of Christ, but I'm just weak. I love God, but I'm just weak, and I have temptations that I simply cannot overcome. There are no doubt many good things that Judas may have done for the Lord. He had left his home. He had left things and went to follow Christ as a believer and as a disciple. We read in Luke, the 16th chapter, in verse 13, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. We read in verse 16 of that same chapter on down, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. You know, when Jesus selected these men, if Judas would have just been an evil man from the beginning, he would have not ever been a believer, would have just never agreed to even follow Jesus. We find that, at least we can believe, that he suffered many of the same things the other disciples and the other apostles did. He sat there at the feet of Jesus and heard many of Jesus' teachings, and no doubt taught many individuals himself. We read Matthew chapter 10, verses 4 through 8. Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. We have no reason to believe that when Jesus commanded these men to go and do these things, that Judas wasn't a part of that lot that went out and did these things. But Judas had compromised his life and compromised his soul, even in the midst of doing possible good works for the cause of Christ. We find that he was a thief. John 12, verses 4 through 6, then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and had given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. You know, he no doubt rationalized his sin, because that's what we all do if we're not very careful. If we are not very, very careful and keep a sharply tuned conscience, we will rationalize our own sin. And those sins will begin to have less and less effect on us and on our conscience, and will be able to affect us less to move towards guilt and ultimately repentance. Well, sadly for Judas, just like us, this sin left uncorrected would lead to much bigger and much more vile things. We read in Mark 14th chapter, verses 10 and 11. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad, and promised to give him money. And he sought out how he might conveniently betray him. We read also in Galatians, the 6th chapter, verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap life, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So Judas obviously sowed a sinful life. He sowed to the flesh, and that he would betray Jesus Christ for money, and sought how he might betray him. He likely, or it's possible, held a false view of what the kingdom would be, as so many did, so many of the followers of Christ did at that time. And he betrayed Jesus Christ for money. And it was not until Judas saw that Jesus was going to the cross that his overwhelming guilt caused him to commit suicide. We read Matthew chapter 27, verses 3 through 5. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned, and that I have betrayed innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Well, why did he hang himself? Did he not know that the Lord would forgive? He had sat there at the feet of Jesus for so long, and yet he did not know and understand that the Lord would forgive? Well, it's likely that in the practice of sin, his faith had been so weakened that he could not accurately see himself or see the grace of God. What about modern-day Judases? Today, it's those who put physical things over the spiritual realm are the Judases of today. Matthew, the 6th chapter, and verse 33, we're told, But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Judas certainly did not seek first the kingdom of God. Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, we're told, Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Those that have a practice of personal sin with no responsibility are modern-day Judases. We read in Acts chapter 24 and verse 16, And herein do I exercise myself, to always have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9, Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. So ask yourself, today are you a Judas? Do you betray the Lord to death again over and over today? Were you as Judas there as one of those who were there when they crucified our Lord? Well, next this morning, we want to look at the Apostle Peter. Peter was overconfident. He was overconfident in that he never thought that he would face an occasion where he would be found wanting. He thought that he was so strong, so firmly planted, that he could never be overtaken in a fault. We read in Matthew chapter 26, verses 31 and 35, Then Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, I will not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. You know, this wasn't the first time that Peter showed this bravado. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 21 through 23, "From that time forth began Jesus to shew his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again on the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." You know, in this case, when Peter made this claim, Jesus rebuked him and made him acutely aware of his sin, his opposition to the will of God. But it came back and it revisited him under the burden of the cross of Christ. His overconfidence, I believe, left him unprepared. We read in Matthew chapter 26, verses 40 and 41, speaking of Jesus here, "And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." You know, I'm sure that Peter and the other apostles were tired and exhausted, and that's part of why they fell asleep when Jesus asked them to watch and pray. But I also have to wonder if part of it was Peter's overconfidence, that he felt like he was prepared. When Jesus told him to go prepare, he was sure he was prepared. But in reality, he was unprepared to do as Jesus asked. He was unprepared to follow Jesus, and unprepared, that being unprepared is what led him to deny 3 times that he was one of Jesus' disciples. Even though the Lord specifically warned him, he did the very thing that he said he would never do. You know, Jesus tried to warn Peter, and he said in Luke chapter 22 and verse 31, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." We also find in the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew, in verse 56, he says, "But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him, and he fled." In verse 58, "But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in, and sat with the servants to see the end." And then verses 69 through 75, "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And went out and wept bitterly." You know, Peter, with all his confidence and bravado, in the shadow of the cross, he denied Jesus. Well, who are the overconfident Peters of our day? Maybe it's those that don't take advantage of every chance they have to be continually strengthened. You know, it's the worship services that give us a chance to worship God and be spiritually rejuvenated and built up. It's taking time to read and study and meditate on the Word of God that allows us to learn what His will is for us and how we ought to follow Him. And it's in taking time and making time to pray that we thank God for the things He has given to us, and which in turn helps us be grateful to Him. And it's in prayer that we ask God for the things that we need. Learn to rely upon God and ask Him for help in our day-to-day lives. And who among us doesn't need that as often as possible? Maybe the Peters of our day today are those that are not even striving to grow, that are not taking the initiative to study, that are not willing to take on more responsibility. Maybe it's those who ignore the clear warnings of the Scriptures and put themselves in unwise situations anyway. Paul writes to the Corinthian brethren a familiar passage in 1 Corinthians 15 and 33, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." Well, are you a Peter today? Are you overconfident in your faith? Are you not willing to heed the advice and warnings from the Scriptures and from others? You know the old saying, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. But also from the Scriptures, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Are you a Peter today? Do you crucify Jesus? Do you deny him today and fall yourself? Well, next, as we look back at the Scriptures and at the events surrounding the cross, we must look back at Pilate there at the cross. You know, Pilate probably thought of himself as a man of courage, someone who was in his position of authority to make tough decisions, to stand up to those that would oppose Caesar. And it was his job to punish the wicked. He was someone who executed justice, decided the guilty versus the innocent. And you know, after all, he tried to free Jesus. John chapter 18, verses 38 through 40, "Pilate saith unto them, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find no fault in him at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. We read also on down in John chapter 19, verses 1 through 6, what happened following this. "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Pilate, like so many other cowards, announced the truth, but really he wanted others to take a stand first. And there in the shadow of the cross, we saw his true colors. He wasn't willing to pay the price for the truth. He wasn't willing to face the ridicule of the crowd, to risk having his loyalty to Caesar questioned, and possibly the threat of violence or loss of his power. And then we find Pilate thought that he could just wash his hands of the matter, and simply because he had said what he said, that he found no fault in Jesus, that he could just wash his hands of it, even though he hadn't done the right thing. We find Matthew chapter 27 and verse 24. "When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." So who are the Pilates today? Those that were there when they crucified our Lord. I believe today's Pilates are those that fall victim to peer pressure or worldly influences. Those who know what is right, but they compromise that right decision because of others. Those who go places they shouldn't go because others convince them to. Those that act in ways and say things they shouldn't say to impress others. We just read 1 Corinthians 15 and 33, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." This is equally as applicable here. And translated more literally, this passage says, "Evil companionship corrupts good morals. Also, today's pilots are those who fellowship those in sin and do not rebuke error and even praise others in their religious sin. 2 John verses 9 through 11, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. I also think those that know the truth, that know what is right, and choose not to do it, are the pilots of today. You know, James lays it out crystal clear in James chapter 4 and verse 17, when he says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We need to ask ourselves, are we a pilot today? Well, fourthly this morning, I want to look at the centurion there at the cross. You know, the centurion, I believe he honestly saw the events of the cross, and he was troubled by what he saw. He knew, I think, that Jesus was an innocent man. By the actions of Jesus' accusers and all the signs that he saw, the things that he saw happen, it's very likely that he believed and knew that Jesus was innocent. Matthew, the 27th chapter, verses 39 through 43, and they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with scribes and elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. So we find here that the centurion standing there nearby knew that Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. Perhaps whatever he had known of Jesus up to that time would lead him to that conclusion. But also, all these passerbys were railing on Jesus, saying, you claim you are the Son of God. Now do something about this situation that you're in. Then we read verses 51 through 54. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion, and they that were there with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. So after knowing that Jesus made this claim, that he was the Son of God, and then seeing these miraculous, these great events, he acknowledges Jesus as God's Son. And even though he likely didn't have the background or the upbringing of the Jews at that time, that had seen Jesus for years and had known about all the prophecies, he was able to see and confess in such a short time what so many others could not. Today, we need to find modern-day centurions and present them, those with an honest heart, with the powerful evidence found in the Holy Scriptures and the Gospel of Christ, that Jesus Christ was made flesh, that he left heaven and the Father, that he lived a perfect life as the example for us, that he might be a sinless lamb. He was then tortured and mocked and crucified for our sins, because we were all found to be sinners. The gospel is powerful. It is the power of God unto salvation. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. May we find those centurions of today with pure and honest hearts that we can impress upon them the truths of the Scriptures. Finally, this morning, we want to look at Mary. We find that Mary there in the shadow of the cross never left her place and was there with Jesus until the end. Matthew 27, verses 55 through 56, And many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. Among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. We must be the steadfast Marys today. We must be willing to stay at our posts, to guard the faith no matter the cost. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." We must follow the commandment of Paul here. We must be steadfast and unmovable. We must guard the faith. We must have the strength and the resolve and the commitment to remain true. So as we ask ourselves, were we there when they crucified our Lord? We were all there in some way, in some form. He died for all of our sins. But as we said, in the cross, the true colors of many are shown. Are we one of those that would have been ashamed of our Savior there at the cross, who failed in our dedication to Christ? Are we one of those who crucify him over and over again in our daily lives? Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened to have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again into repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." Is that us this morning? If it is, we had better repent, confess our sin, and humble ourselves again before God and beg his forgiveness and rededicate ourselves to Christ. But hopefully this morning we can say that we're one of the Marys there at the cross, and that we stand with the Lord faithfully, continually, and in doing so, show the great glory of the cross of Christ. Acts chapter 5, verses 41 through 42, "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." Hopefully we're those that even in the face of trials and persecutions, we stand strong. So who were you when you were there at the cross of Christ? We must ask ourselves and be honest with ourselves and decide how we ought to live our lives going forward. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never taken the steps necessary to be added to the Lord's church. You're like the centurion. You know the truth. Don't be like Pilate. Don't know what is right and choose not to do it. The steps are simple to obey the gospel plan of salvation. You must believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as we're told in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You must repent of your past sins, as we're told in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. Confess Jesus Christ before men, as the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts the 8th chapter. And as Peter told the multitude there in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, we must be baptized for the remission of our sins. Or like we said, maybe you're like Peter. You once named the name of Jesus, but have fallen away. You've committed sins that are of such a nature that you need to confess them and ask the prayers of the church. If there's one of either case, please come while we stand and while we sing.